Go.
If we want to live a wholehearted life, we have to become intentional. Fudge.
Okay. All right. Ready? Go.
If we want to live. What is wrong with me today? Maybe I can't see.
I don't know. You can't speak?
This has never happened to me. Tell people this has never happened to me.
This has never happened to her before.
Welcome to Casa de Confidence, a podcast for you. You'll hear some incredible women.
And some awesome cool dudes.
Going confidently in the direction of their dreams and living in the purpose of their heart.
You're our host,
Julie DeLuca Collins, and you are our sidekick, hashtag handsome hot husband.
That again.
And the producer of the show.
That I am.
I am an author, speaker, coach, dreamer, and most of all,
we help people go in the direction of their dreams
and support them on their purpose. So pull up a chair,
grab a drink,
and make yourself at home, because our casa
is your casa. Welcome back to Casa de Confidence. This is Dan, and we have Julie here. And Julie, you tried to rip out a quote for our intro, but you didn't quite get it. Do you want to try it again now?
Sure. If we want to live a wholehearted life, we have to become intentional about cultivating sleep and play and about letting go of exhaustion as a status symbol.
That is a beautiful quote. Who said it?
Brené Brown.
Brené Brown. Oh, very nice. That was a very nice quote. Mm-hmm. Very good. I'm sure everyone was entertained in the beginning when you couldn't get it out.
All right, you're going to put that in the show, actually?
Absolutely. It's in there. It's already done. It's
done. My God. It's done.
So people are listening to it right now. Therefore, it is done.
It is done.
So, Julie. Indeed. We have a quick introduction today because, you know, this interview was a little longer than most because you had such a good time. And there was two people other than yourself in the show.
Yeah. So I met Ron and Marty Cooper through one of my favorite places to find other podcast guests. And that is Podmatch. We have to give them a shout out to Alex Sanfilippo, who is the founder of Podmatch. But
thank you, Alex.
Initially, Ron and Marty asked to be on my show, and then I was on their show. And I have to tell you, they are delightful. They've been married for many years, and Ron is leveraging a 30-year active duty Air Force fighter pilot career. And he is helping to Cooper culture to assess organizations' strengths, employing the DISC, which is one of my favorite assessments. And he has also partnered with Dr. John Maxwell. And again, he's a leadership trainer, and he has an incredible partnership with his wife, Marty. I was just taken by both of them. They are phenomenal. They are delightful and incredibly inspirational to me. And I feel that other people can get a great glimpse at what does it take to have that commitment to each other, to being really centered in your faith as well, but also encouraging one another to pursue those dreams, which I think is incredibly important.
That is incredibly important. And this episode's been in the can for quite a while. Actually, we featured this
on the radio show, on
360 Radio for Women.
This was a radio episode, and we really loved the responses that we have gotten. And it's only fair that we run it on the podcast as well.
Yes. Yes. There's a lot of interviews that run on the radio, and Julie does select some to go into the podcast. And this is one of those great interviews.
Yeah. One of the things that, you know, I'm reminded when I think of John Maxwell and the work that Marty and Ron are doing is that it is incredibly important to focus, right? And this book is one of the best books that I read in the past year, not in 2024. I read it at the end of 2023. So it's still within the year in my brain. But one of the things that I love is that we are going to put out a lot of effort in our life. We're going to put out a lot of effort to achieve things. And the reality is that if we focus, right? follow one course until successful, because that could be what the acronym that FOCUS stands for, we can continue to find the success that we need. But a lot of times we get so distracted. We get so distracted with serving multiple things, doing certain things, adding another thing. And, God said, you cannot serve two masters.
Yeah. And a lot of times you pivot too early.
Yes. You don't stay your course.
Yep. And that's something you should know when to pivot. But a lot of people pivot too early and they jump from thing to thing to thing. Mm-hmm. And then that doesn't serve you. So.
And again, a lot of times when you're pivoting is because you're not getting the result that you want. And listen, we are all going to have to pivot at one point, right? We had to pivot when the pandemic came about.
Sorry, Friends reference, my bad.
Well, by the way, which goes to make my point that Friends was a more popular episode, because how many people are going around quoting the X-Files? Just saying.
People don't know what you're talking about here, because we talk about that off that's camera. Right.
If you want to know what we're talking about, go into the Facebook and watch the whole episode.
For those X-Files people out there, they're rebooting. They're going to do a new X-Files.
Okay. But
Friends isn't rebooting.
Back to this episode. I wanted to say, yes, we're all going to pivot from time to time. However, you have to give yourself enough time to be committed to the process, to be committed to the boring, to be committed to failing also in the process, so that we can gain information, we can gain experience, we can gain the insight to knowing how not to do it, and also how to gain the confidence in doing what we didn't have the confidence to do before. Our effort, it is incredibly important when we focus it, right? Because a lot of times, things that we accomplish come about from 20% of our effort. Can you imagine if we really go all in, if we really focus on something, not anything else, we're going to grow. And I think about the times in which I'm focusing the best is because I am actually taking care of myself. I am sleeping. I am doing, some refocusing of myself. So I want people to take a little bit of a lesson from the consistency and the drive that someone like Marty has and someone like Ron has. Marty and Ron have not only been committed to their marriage and devoted to their faith and committed to what they're doing, but now they're really committed to serving others through their organization, which is, again, servicing people in the world by their example and in companies. So the Cooper Culture is CooperCulture.com is where you can find them. But more importantly for your life, I want you to take the example that if you focus on the one thing, on sticking to the thing that you're doing, you're going to get more momentum for your life, for your business, for your relationships. Because every time that we try to throw a lot of different things together, we're not giving it our all. We're not giving the best of our all. And if you're going to move forward, that is going to be one of the keys. One focus, one drive, one goal.
All right.
So I hope that's helpful.
I'm sure it is. Now, here we go. Enjoy this interview with Ron and Marty Cooper.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Confident You Radio and the Casa de Confidence podcast. I am excited to have with me today a couple. It's my favorite kind of interview to have a Mr. and Mrs. join us on the show specifically because, as you know, I work with my spouse. He is the producer of the show. But today I have Marty and Ron Cooper, and they are from the Cooper Culture. Their value statement is the work, home, and spiritual culture should be a continuum to have life harmony, and each culture should edify and advance each other. What they do is they have organizations that contract with them to develop high-performing teams through connected relationships and principal leadership. How can you benefit, my friends? Well, let's see. They will increase your revenue through increased personnel productivity and relationships. And you know that this is everything that we talk about here on the show. And the process to benefit you is that they employ a proprietary method to assess your current work culture and compare that with your strategic goals. And I know you are wondering why it works. Well, they partner with you to ensure that the effective fulfillment of the information, application, implementation, and transformation and execution of the program that they are bringing to you. And it matters because business growth is a result of people knowing they belong to an organization. And there is so much more that we're going to unpack because I want to get to our guest today. So welcome, Ron and Marty. I appreciate you being here and taking the time to chat with me today. Tell us a little bit more about each of you.
Thank you, Julie. It is great to be with you and your guests at Marty's request and approval. I will start out and I'll just say very briefly, relationships is very, very important to us. I will tell you early in life, dating and wanting a relationship was very difficult for me. I had a very low self-confidence. Mm-hmm. I believed, well, it was self-limiting doubts. I didn't know that I was dateable. In fact, I got rejected a bunch of times and went into my college life hoping that maybe somewhere, somehow, somebody would accept me. And I found this little cute, just stunning lady in the college bookstore as the cash register. And I thought, oh, my goodness, I hope I could make a connection somehow, some way. So many times I walked into the bookstore pretending to look for books and so forth. But really, I just wanted to see her. And I thought, well, I hope she won't reject me. So it took me 18 months to gather the courage to date Marty with the hope she would not say no. That's a long story, so to speak, to talk about relationships. But I know how important relationships are in effective September 7th, 1968, we were married. And so September 7th, 2023 will be 55 years with my best friend in life.
Congratulations. Oh, what a beautiful story. Marty, did you notice this dapper young man walk into the bookstore? Or where was the first time that you became aware of him?
It was in the bookstore. I grew up in Indiana. And he grew up in Maryland. So,
okay.
You know, completely almost far away from each other and a different culture in each state. But when he walked into the bookstore in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in Indiana Tech, I thought, oh my goodness, look at him. He's good looking. And, you know, just wow. And I had another coworker there, and she was an older lady, and she said to Ron, well, are you going to take her to the basketball game? Because basketball is Indiana, but that's in Maryland, football is. So I didn't know if he would be interested. And the first thing he said, well, she's 2 years older than me. I don't know whether she would want to go with me.
So, look at that.
Yeah, I know. So like he said, it was about 18 months of him. And I have a funny story that I like to tell. I went to a dance that Indiana Tech had. And so his friend was there. And I said, where's Ron? So his friend said, I'm going to go get him. So he did. Mm-hmm. And he came down and Ron said, I'm only going to dance with you once because I got to get my homework done so I can watch the Redskins play football tomorrow.
Oh, my gosh. Spoken like a true Maryland Redskin fan.
Yes, yes. And I thought, wow, I'm really making a hit. That's for sure. But I looked at it as he's goal-minded and he's set to... his mindset is, I'm going to work at this until I get my dream. And he did have a dream. So he can talk about his dream. And I'm from the age where, you know, you follow And so once we realized that this was a forever thing, basically he liked my VW because he didn't have a car.
And so, you go.
So it's been a wonderful journey, 55 years of traveling in with the Air Force and just a beautiful relationship. And we're both retired, so now work together.
You're working together, you're retired. And by the way, I am pretty partial to the Air Force. My dad was in the Air Force. He was an airman. He actually enrolled or I'm not saying the correct word, and I'm ashamed that, you know, as a daughter of someone in the Air Force, but he signed up to go in the Air Force because he was 17 and he wasn't ready for college and he wanted to get out of New York City. At the time he lived in Manhattan, but at the time his neighborhood was the projects and he knew that the military was going to provide him with opportunities that he didn't have. And sure enough, it provided him with some wonderful opportunities, eventually an education, a college education. And he never forgot those formative years. But the one thing that I know he always wished he had is someone that just kind of complimented what he was doing. My dad was married 5 times. My mom was 3 of 5. And the interesting thing is that I see that you make it work. And you probably do so, I would imagine, and correct me if I'm wrong, is because of your values. Even though you were from different places, you had some values that align. Do you think that values are important in a relationship and business?
Julie, I will tell you that you hit on a very key attribute right there, your values. And you also mentioned compliment. Your dad wishes he had someone that he would compliment him. I will tell you just very briefly, Marty and I are very opposite, however, in very complimentary ways. I know of some couples who've said, oh, a husband and wife, she and I could never be in business together because... But Marty and I are very, very different, but in very complementary ways. Marty is very much a checklist, structured kind of person. I'm just take it as it goes kind of thing.
Are you a D on the disc by any chance? It seems to me that you might be a disc, a D in the disc.
Okay, you're right on, Julie. I am a DI and Marty is an SCI. And for those who are disc oriented, I have become over life an outgoing or let's say somewhat of a freelancing person. I am very task oriented and Marty is more of a reserved behind the scenes kind of person. I'm comfortable not saying that I'm great being out front. I just enjoy that. Marty enjoys being more of a behind the scenes person. Marty keeps me structured in line. And I sometimes can become too much of a freelance type person. I take on more things than what I should, and Marty helps keep me in line. So that's just little bit of what we're about.
Hey, by the way, that is exactly a very similar relationship. I am a DI, very high on the D, very high on the I, where my husband is an S. See, he is incredibly supportive, but he is also very incredibly structured. He needs to dot all the I's and cross the T's. And I sometimes lose my patience, like, who cares? Let's just keep going. But when I need that structure, he provides it. So I think that it's very nice to have that type of relationship with somebody.
Yeah, I want to say when I first took Ron home to meet my family. Later on, my dad came to me and he goes, you better grab this one because he's very smart and he will go places. And so I took that advice and my dad and Ron got along perfect. It was a great relationship.
That's great. You know, I have to say that when you meet someone to then have the confirmation from someone that you care about to say, hey, this is the person for you because they know you well, right? And they also can see how this person can be a fit for your life. I love that.
Well, I do have to say my dad took him aside when Ron asked my dad if for To marry me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going, my goodness. And my dad said, let me tell you about her. Now, do you think you can put up with this? She hates mess. Order and all that. So let me tell you about a few things. And Ron agreed. So I guess it's worked out.
It's worked out. It's worked out. It's, you know, my dad was very similar when my husband, and by the way, my husband and I had been married before and we had practiced spouses and it wasn't the right relationship. And when he asked to marry me, he also asked my dad, and my dad said something very similar to him. He's like, are you sure you can handle her? Because she's very independent. She's very set in her ways. She's very opinionated. And my husband said, not only can I handle that, but I will respect her and give her space, but also catch her when she falls, which he does, by the way.
You know, Julie, I'll capitalize a little bit more on values. Values are the core of Marty's and my relationship.
Yeah.
I won't say that we were as skilled with values in the early part of our relationship as we are now. I mean, being able to definitively define those values. But Marty and I think in the very beginning knew that our values matter. And and so while we didn't discuss the values per se, as we do now, we certainly knew that kind of inherently that we need to be certain our values are aligned. We knew, for just as one example, our dating, and if it does lead to marriage, it's not a trial. No, it's meant to be a lifetime commitment. Yeah. And it's not, well, if it doesn't work out, we'll just dump you and try somebody else and so forth. So, no, lifetime commitment.
I love that.
So with that, we said, okay, the marriage vows, in sickness and in health, in good times and bad times, till death do us part. Well, yes, we believe that at its very core. Marty, there's nothing that you and I will encounter that we together, and that's such a very operative term for us, together. That's Marty and me together, but it's integral to our business, together. Yeah. We will work through this.
I love that. You know, and I think that in retrospect, that was one of the things that the value alignment, and I'm not going to speak for my husband about his first relationship, but I'm pretty sure it's a very similar thing. That I got married the first time thinking that I was there forever, but, you know, in my commitment to the relationship, but my values were not aligned with the person I married. And I did everything that I could. And when it didn't work, I thought, okay, well, maybe this is not for me. And I, unexpectedly, here was my husband, Dan. And that is one of the things that, you know, we've been married 11 years. We can learn a lot from both of you. But we really come back together. Our intrinsic values as a couple are that we are the priority. Each other, you know, there's no such thing as 50-50 when it comes to our relationship. There's days in which I can do more than he can, and some days he can do more, but we're willing to do it because we're working on his team, Dan and Julie, and I'm sure his team, Ron and Marty as well. And you've grown a family. Tell me, what are some of the things that, and I want to get a little bit more about what you're doing now, but I want to talk about you've grown a family together. You've traveled, you were in the military. How did you keep that glue together in addition to your values? What is another thing that helped you, not only in life as you were serving others, as you were growing a family, but making an impact and living in your purpose?
Very important that you ask that question, Julie. And I want to compliment Marty for being the principal person who kept our family together. I was military, and which means that I was deployed to various locations while serving my country. I was tasked to go to remote locations, and that caused us to be separated. And so then it becomes a matter, well, how do you keep a family together when you're not geographically together?
Yeah.
And it was back in the day that all we had was, well, I say all we had, we did have a telephone, but that was even then was a little bit antiquated. And we had cassette tapes. Oh my goodness. Many of your listeners may not even know what a cassette tape is.
I will tell you a story about cassette tapes, but go ahead.
But so we would send cassette tapes to each other, and it may take 2 weeks in transit. So that kept the voice going. Marty, when I was in, I'm a Vietnam era person separated during the conflict in Vietnam. But we kept each other apprised through voice messaging, the cassette tapes. And we had our Joanne, our daughter was born at just 6 months, over actually a year before I left. And so that was, Marty did a great job. And I just applaud her for keeping our family together through the voice messaging, letters, and so forth. And so I came back and during what we call R&R, rest and relaxation, and got to know Joanne, our daughter, through that time, albeit we'd been separated for nearly 8 months. But Marty, wow. I want to thank you from the depth of my heart for keeping our family together.
Thank you. I do want to say when he first left, she was a year old, and I had talked to other waiting wives. Like, back then it was waiting wives.
Yeah.
And their children were afraid of their father when they came home. And I thought, I don't want that.
Yeah.
So I had a picture of him in his uniform, and I would take her every day and say, that's daddy. So when he came home after 6 months, the next morning, she went up to him and just crawled into his lap. And I said, thank you. That, you know, that was so important to me that she was not afraid of him.
Such foresight and wisdom in your part. I think that, you know, we as individuals try to do the best we can with every action that we take, but you really thought out, okay, well, this is something that other wives are encountering. How can I, right, change that or shift that and create this opportunity for my daughter and husband to have that connection even after some time apart? I love that. Thank you for sharing. Where were you stationed in addition to maybe, and I believe you're in Maryland and in Maryland now, but where other places have you been to?
We started out in at San Antonio, where I got my commission as an officer, and then transitioned to what was then George Air Force Base in California. And I had, quote, the opportunity to go to war. And what I want to make sure your listeners know that I'm not a war hawk. I'm not out to, you know, endanger anybody, but I had two opportunities. And a part of my dream was I wanted a fighter aircraft. And I was very blessed to be able to fly the F-4. And I had two choices. I could serve in Germany, what was then a peacetime assignment, or Vietnam. And with a war was going on, I said, the only thing I can do to serve my country is to serve in the war zone. And so I did. And we were separated for 1 year during that time. I came back home for 6 weeks, and then I got redeployed to Vietnam. So we were separated for about 18 months. And but I will say, Julie, that the teamwork that we have at home, that commitment, carries into our married life, but carries into the attributes, the importance of staying together, the teamwork carries into our business. And I want to thank Marty for being my consummate teammate.
I love that.
Well, I'll tell you, we moved in 22 years, 18 times.
Wow. And I thought I had moved a lot of times, but not 18. Amazing. Marty, you know, as you were speaking, first of all, I wanted to share my experience with cassettes. I actually, out of high school, I dated a young man who went into the Air Force, and we dated for a year, and he then was deployed to Germany. He was in Spangdahlem, Germany. It was the Air Force base that he was in. And then the plan was that we were going to get married and I was going to move to Germany. And I was ready to do so. But sadly, he had a motorcycle accident abroad and he didn't lose his life, but he never remained the same. He, you know, his cognitive skills, he had traumatic brain injury and it was, I don't speak a lot that about that a lot, but the reason I'm bringing it up is because that's how old I am, I guess. We communicated through cassette tapes as well. And I remember the days of rushing home from school, and I was teaching also at a preschool, and I would rush home to see if there was a tape, and I would spend the week. I'll never forget. I had one of those big cassette players that had the dual deck, and I would listen in one, and then I would stop it, and then I would go in and I would record a response, and it was just part of my everyday that I went and I. You know, so it's interesting. I just came across a box of tapes that he had sent me, and talk about going down memory lane. But, you know, I think that, you know, God has a plan and things happen for a reason. Had I married him in December, as we had anticipated, the Gulf War, the first Gulf War broke out. And he would have, and had I moved to Germany, his squadron was one of the first ones to be deployed. So I would have found myself a new bride in a strange country where I don't know the language. So I know that it takes a lot of skill to navigate something like that. What did you find was one of the things that grounded you to keep going, especially as he was away from you in harm's way, in essence, serving our country?
I think when he went to Vietnam, I didn't understand. Mm. I didn't understand the war. I didn't understand just how much at risk he could be.
Yeah.
So when he came home and told some stories and he went back a second time, I realized more, but mm-hmm. I just knew he knew that airplane inside and out, and Ron was going to come home.
Yeah.
I never feared that he would have a accident and not come back. I just knew he knew it and he could fly it.
That's amazing.
So all my confidence was in his ability.
I love, what does it feel like when you hear your wife say that all her confidence was in your ability? What is that like?
Well, I appreciate that, Julie. And I'll tell you a little bit about a fighter pilot attitude. And I hope your listeners don't interpret what I'm about to say as being a bunch of bravado and showmanship. But I will tell you, as you know very well, Julie, our personalities are such that we have confidence, and I had to develop that for the first 20 years of my life. In the early part of my life, I did not have a lot of confidence, and but it was through mentoring, and Marty's dad is one of those who helped me develop what I hope to be a very healthy self-confidence. But as that went into the aircraft and my confidence in, we frequently say, I'm going to strap the airplane on to me, I had the attitude, and here's where some of your listeners may think this is a lot of bravado, arrogance, and so forth, but I choose to think of it more so as confidence. You will not shoot me down. In the event you do shoot me down, you will not capture me. I will land with a parachute. I will arrive on the ground alive. Should you capture me, you will not kill me. And should I be captured, I will be released. And so those are some of the attitudes that we had, and I carried that into the aircraft. I think Marty would probably say that is some of the confidence, bravado, the airmanship, whatever term you want to use, that gave Marty the confidence that, nope, he will return in spite of the fact that she knew much more about the war zone than after I had been with her than she knew before I went there. So that's somewhat of a long story, Julie, but I think that's part of our relationship.
Well, I love that you said that. And Marty, I would imagine that, and well, actually for the both of you, what you just said, your thought were your choice, and that helped you along the way. Would you think that thoughts are the key to having the kind of life that we desire in some ways?
I do. I think you have to have the mindset that no matter what, you're going to make it. Mm-hmm. And I guess I just believe that a positive thought is better than to think negative. Now, yes, you can. We have the ability to think negative. We have the ability to have anxiety. And we just talked about, we did a podcast on anxiety. So being faith-based, I just had the faith that God would bring him home.
I love it. It's so beautiful. You know, I believe that we really are called to live in the here and the now. And I know from personal experience, the times that I dwell in the past or the times that I worry about the future are the times in which I feel the anxiety, the sadness, but really living in the future, living for today is how I'm choosing to show up. And by the way, you said something that is one of my favorite things. Knowing in that we can figure it out sometimes is really, if we tell ourselves that, we can make the choice to be in a better today. Thank you for sharing that. I wonder, what was your motivation? Because you've had a wonderful life. You've been married for 55 years. You've lived in so many different places, but now you began the Cooper culture. Tell me a little bit more about what your motivation was to begin this journey. And what is the Cooper culture? Because we talked about it, but I want you to give us our firsthand look into what it is.
Thank you for that, Julie. Culture. That is the overall atmosphere, if you will, the environment in which you operate. Every family has a culture. Every business has a culture. Marty and I have, I don't use the word retirement. We have transitioned from a remunerative, you know, the traditional job to doing what we choose to do. But when you're at work, you really enjoy being there. We get along well. We have great relationships. We trust each other. We know each other. Or are you just putting in time to get a paycheck that, you know, I'll put my time in, I'll go in and I'll come back. But to say that I really enjoy myself at work, not necessarily so. So I use that as just one example of the culture. As we know each other, as in the context of leadership, when you lead from the heart, you lead with compassion, you lead in a way that you genuinely know your people, their strengths, and so forth. I use a term that it is when you can exercise appropriate vulnerability, and that is, I don't mind telling you and your listeners, there was a time in my life where I had very self-limiting doubts. And so I don't focus on that, but I'll let people know that, yes, there was a period of my life when I did, and I've overcome. Overcoming is a part of our life right now, the culture that we have overcome, each of us, Marty and I individually, have overcome aspects of our lives. We want to help people overcome and become the very best God created each of us to be. And so there's that aspect of the individual. We know what it is to have a great teamwork. I'm a sports person, played football, but Marty and I believe, also form our own team. We know the team at the workplace, the organization, wherever you're functioning. When you have a great team atmosphere and you all know each other, you're totally integrated, loyal to, and you'd never talk against each other, that's a great environment. I'm not talking utopia. I am talking an environment where, no, we all function very, very well together and we're committed to each other. That's just a little bit about the culture that we help companies develop. And we help those companies develop it and sustain it through partnering with them. We don't like to be called consultants because that indicates an in and out. We yeah. hope we can earn the right to partner with people.
I love that. Marty, did you have something you wanted to share?
I was going to say that the Cooper culture was more his idea because I am a behind the scenes person and my background is support. So that's where I feel my role is support. I do love our Overcomers Overcoming podcast. That is really great. Ron and I have also, since we have
transitioned.
We have mentored several football players from the local high school.
Oh, I love that.
And we have one that we just love to death. And he's in college now, and we call him our son. And he is 6'4 and 300 and some pounds. And he's of a different skin color. And we go down there and we say, well, we're here to see our son play football. It. And then they look at the picture and look at us and go, really? But we're very proud of him. So I do enjoy that. I enjoy helping Ron tutor and I'll cook. Mm-hmm. And it's been a wonderful experience.
What an amazing experience and journey together. People often ask when you work with your spouse, what are some of the challenges? I'd love for you to not focus on challenges, but I'd love to focus on what are the rewards that you have from being in partnership, making an impact together, bringing the Cooper culture, not only to individuals, but bringing the Cooper culture to businesses that need that type of support, that need just someone to come in and help them, right? And you're becoming part of the fabric of the organization. But what are the benefits of working together?
I love it when I see Ron on stage and knowing that he's helping people, the audience. They've come to listen to him and he's helping them. I've seen him do what we call a leadership assessment with a group of people. And he has that personality that can just draw out and have fun with people. So that's a reward for me, knowing that I'm a part of that. I'm a behind the scenes, but I am a part of that too.
Yeah. And it's an integral part, I would imagine, you know, and I want to tell you that behind the scenes makes the scene happen.
And Julie, you're right on. Marty is my inspiration to keep going. I will say in the context of kind of what motivates us, keeps us going, one word comes to mind is transformation. As we see individuals transformed, I love seeing transformation occur in real time. As we are mentoring, we're watching that. We can watch organizations be transformed in that when we talk about communication, loyalty, trust, those type factors. Well, how do you bring that about when we can be, and here's God's calling in my life, is to be a catalyst for, to be a change agent, but to be a catalyst. And the term catalyst in this context is I get in and can I just use the term stir things up a little bit? I mean, in a very positive way. But as I can be a catalyst to bring about different people, different aspects, different attributes together to a meaningful end, that's very meaningful to me. As I speak with people from stage or in individual groups to facilitate whatever it may be, I like to get to know people. I want to interact with people just like we're doing with you, Julie. I like to read the people. And so I want to interact very effectively with the people. And Marty helps me do that. And she's just great at that. At the end of this podcast, at the end of the day, we always get together and we talk about whatever it is that And we synthesize, we assess and say, okay, well, based on what we did, what can we do better? Where can we go again? We're always, always, always looking into the future.
Oh, that's, I thank you for sharing that. I think that this attitude is one of the things that really attracted me to have this conversation with you. You are both certified through John Maxwell. And so you are part of his community, part of his leadership training. I, you know, really admire John Maxwell. But what drew you to going through? Because there's so many different programs, right, that all of us can participate in and get a credential through. But why John Maxwell?
Leadership, just in as a very general term, I was very fortunate to be voted the top leader of my pilot training class. But leadership has always, always, always been, I've always gravitated to leaders, leadership. Mm-hmm. And John Maxwell was one of the first ones I knew about who spoke of leadership. And back in the days with cassette tapes and so yes. forth, I listened to him. I've read most of his books, and we have attended seminars with him. And we've just grown to and grown with John. And we both said, you know, Marty, once I learned that he has a certification program, I just said, Marty, I think it'd be good for the two of us to together be certified through John Maxwell to learn about leadership. But I don't want to go into John Maxwell being certified without Marty being with me, but I don't want to coerce her into anything. Mm-hmm. We decided together. And yeah. Together, again, is a very operative term for Marty and me. Together, we are certified through John Maxwell. And coaching is where each certified coaches, and Marty goes about coaching more so on a one-on-one. And I too do one-on-one coaching, but I can do it in a group setting as well.
Amazing. I have, one of the things that I've been asking a lot of individuals, and as you're speaking, it reminded me of this, because leadership from a very early age, I was always told be a leader, not a follower. And sadly for me, but it's a great lesson that I had to learn. Leader is not just about having a title. It's not just about being in charge and telling people what to do. Leader is someone that is leading through example, that is also allowing others and helping others bring out the best in them. But there is something in our culture right now that we hear the term leaders, but we also hear the term influencers. Could you break down for me, and it could be, you know, again, I don't want to put you in the spot, but I will. what is the difference between an influencer and being a leader, and how can you be the most impactful in whatever role you choose to be?
I will express it in my terms, and then Marty, I would like for you to express it in your terms. I guess in one sense, Julie, you could say that I am a designated leader, depending on what my business card says, mm-hmm. and you know, whatever terms, words, and so forth. But that doesn't necessarily mean that I am leading. It just means that I'm designated a leader. Influencing means I'm actually helping change behavior. I am working with people. And am I a leader only because of whatever position I have, or are people following me? There are a lot of axioms that if you're a leader but no one's following you, then you're on a journey by yourself. Mm-hmm. A leader is a person who has followers, and you are dedicating yourself to build them, build their character, build their future. And succession planning is one of the aspects in which Marty and I are involved, but Marty and I are not going to be in the position we're in ad nauseum. People are going to be taking our position. So succession planning and mentoring, equipping others to take over for us, to me, that's all a part of leadership. But Marty, what is your aspect of leadership? Marty will sometimes say she does not feel she's a leader because she's not the president, CEO of, or something like that. She's more about behind the scenes person. But Marty influences people one at a time.
Right. Mm. I do feel like, no, I'm not the leader, because run, teach a Sunday school. I'm saying, I'm not doing that. and there are other, but I love when, say, women come to me and say, I just would like to have lunch with you and talk to you about something, whatever it is. And I think leaders, they show they care about you. And if you show that, and that's one thing we have learned through John Maxwell, he will say, I'm your friend.
Yeah.
And I believe it. And so not only is a leader a friend, but a leader is someone that cares, maybe beyond what you ever expected them to care for you about.
I love that answer. And by the way, you know, just to kind of recap a little bit of what we both said, I think that, yes, a leader is someone who can mentor you, can help you, can be your friend, but also is there to stand by your side. You know, for me as a leader, one of the qualities that I feel is the most important quality that I work at having goes back to my values, and my top value is service. And I'm lucky enough again that my husband, even though he's in the background, that's the first and foremost thing that you know, we one of the things that we do, obviously I do coaching and I do speaking, but he does the podcast services, and we have clients that he's always looking, how can he service and make it easier for them? What is that most important thing? And really, he'll go out of his way to say, hey, I made this video for you to help, or just thinking of the other person and passing on some of the gifts that we have. And I bet, Marty, this is why people call you for lunch, because you probably have insights that people want to just capture. The other thing I want to touch upon when it comes to leadership, and I'm sure you both know, is because you talked about succession planning, Marty. As a leader, it is our responsibility to train our replacement and to always know that someone is going to come after us, and we should make the path clear for that person, because it's not about us, but it's about the people that are coming in. And then they in turn will have influence and effect and create a ripple effect in our world and continue to change it for the better.
You are correct about that. And I'm going to go back to the term values that but I'm going to introduce the term generational diversity, that those who are 40, 50 years younger than me are not necessarily going to think the way I do. But one of the things that I believe remains pretty much constant are those values. We have spoken of values. And the a value is something to the effect, I'll never talk about you until I talk with you. I will never lie to you. And whatever I say I will do, I will follow up. Those are just some of the very somewhat elementary, but yet core values. And I would hope that irrespective of the fact that you may think a little bit different than I do, because there's X number of years difference, that you will carry forward those core values. And through succession planning, you're bringing up those, mentoring those with those core values, with the understanding that, yes, our generational diversity might necessarily manifest themselves to just a little bit different style of leadership. But as long as, Marty, I applaud what you said, care is a universal language. Everybody knows you care if they can see it in your heart. And if they know you speak it, you exude character, and people know it. And that is precisely what we need to do with people to show that type leadership and the values. And that's core to succession planning.
Yeah, that's wonderfully said. Go ahead, Marty.
That one of my favorite jobs, I had a leader that he would always say, you know, he's training people to take over whenever he would transfer to another position. I want to make you better than me.
So good.
And
so good.
Everybody valued him and would say he did. He lived his life such that when you take over, you do a better job than I did.
Oh, I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it. I think that that is wonderful advice. Are you both readers? Do you read?
Mm-hmm. We both lead, read. Read. And yes.
Well, I'm sure you read, but what do you read?
Well, no, the expression that all leaders are readers, but not all readers are leaders.
That's right. Anything that you would recommend to the listeners as far as one of your personal favorites?
Well, core to our belief is the Bible. Mm-hmm. And that is at the top of the list.
Yeah.
And then anything that John Maxwell writes, we certainly like. I will tell you that there are several books that come to mind that some communicate, but not everybody do. I mean, everyone communicates, but not everyone connects. That is one thing that one book that has been very influential to us. That is, how do we have connected relationships and influencing people? That's another book that John wrote that are just a couple of very core books that we have read. And but Marty, what are some books that come to mind with you?
I'm trying to think. I've read several of his books, and I really like them. Intentional Living is one book that he wrote that I really liked because it takes you through your the process of how you deal with other people.
Nice. I'm going to have to read that. I don't think I've read that one.
It is good. And great. Like Ron said, being a people influencer or influencing people, that's a good one. But I like to read also books from Christian authors and women Christian authors. And I've read several. And one of my latest ones, which is a very good one, by Lisa, I can't pronounce her last name. It starts with a T. But anyway, Forgive What You Can't Forget.
Ooh, I'm going to have to check it out, and we'll put it in the show notes. That sounds like a great book.
It is very good.
Okay.
Very, very good.
Well, that sounds like an incredible recommendation. Thank you both for doing that. Everybody, Ron and Marty Cooper from The Cooper Culture have personal and business growth coaching, marriage consultant, personal performance coaching. They do seminars, consulting for your business. They really provide it all, and they do it in a way in which they are providing you with an impact in a way that it'd be meaningful to you, to your business, to your family, and personally. I'm so glad that we have been able to connect. I want you to make sure that you go to thecooperculture.com. This is where you can find these incredible people. I love that they have their number and email address readily available. So you need to connect with them. And I also want you to go check them out on social media and make sure that you go to the social networks. You give them social currency, like, share, comment on their stuff, because these are people that are doing some truly great work, and we want to get the word out so that other people that may need some of the stuff that they are sharing can benefit from just spreading the word. So any final words for us, Ron and Marty?
Julie, I'll just start out by saying thank you for this opportunity to just have a tabletop conversation with you and the opportunity to share with your listeners. There are people around the world who are going through various things, or some people who, as I did, have doubts. Well, can I take this on? And we want to encourage people to take on some big projects, to share a dream. And we too, together, can determine a way to overcome self-limiting doubts and achieve those things that are just totally fulfilling. And relationships is one of those. And I'll say that Marty is one of my most fulfilling relationships that I can possibly have. And Marty, thank you for being my inspiration.
Well, thank you also. Julie, thank you for having us. I've really enjoyed this podcast with you.
It has been so fun to have both of you, and you have an open invitation to come back anytime, and we would love to host you. And maybe, I don't know, as I visit DC to visit family, and who knows, maybe we'll grab a cup of coffee on my way down.
Please do. And let's look for opportunities to engage with people, to have speaking opportunities. The Absolutely. More we interact with people, the greater the opportunity we're going to have to, we like to use the term, advance everyone within our sphere of influence.
That's right. When one boat rises, when everybody races. I messed it up, but you know what I mean, everybody.
Yes.
Thank you so much, everyone. Make sure that you tune in. And until next time, this is Julie DeLuca Collins and Casa de Confidence. Don't forget, go confidently in the direction of your dreams.
Thanks for listening to Casa de Confidence. We thank you for listening. And if you want more, go to CasaDeConfidencePod.com. Check Julie out on her socials as Julie DeLuca Collins. And you can also check out her website at GoConfidentlyCoaching.com. Have a great week, and don't forget, go confidently in the direction of your dreams.
Hi, everybody. I know that sometimes we get very lonely in this entrepreneur journey, and I want to invite you to join us into our limited time only Purposeful You Mastermind. For many of us entrepreneurs, we believe that we can do it all. But the reality is that doing it alone only creates a lot of overwhelm. So join us at the Purposeful You Mastermind. You can find out more information by going to bit.ly/Julie's Mastermind. This is going to be the place where you are able to then unlock your full potential and achieve long-term success for your business, push you behind your current limits, expand your connections, discover new ideas, and implement them with confidence. You're going to get the support in all aspects and transforming you to the six-figure business you've been looking for. Pause and get off the hamster wheel. If you've been spinning around, this is a time where you can get that support from like-minded entrepreneurs that are here to join you in your journey. Together, we can challenge the assumptions and land the speaking engagements and opportunities we want to grow our business and make an impact in the lives of people. See you then. Remember, you can find the mastermind at bit.ly. Julie's Mastermind.